You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, when you're doing any kind of broadcasting or anything like this, maybe TV, radio or whatever, one of the little golden rules that you have to live your life by is that, you know, there's certain words that you can't say on air and in certain time slots.
Yeah, I live my life a little bit like that, if I'm honest.
Even off air, you don't swear a heck of a lot.
No,
you do a little bit.
I coached kids that were under 13, so.
Oh, that, and if anything could drive you to want to swear, it's that.
But you're not allowed to.
Yes.
Got to come up with viable alternatives like focaccia and shiitake. I'm big into my
shiitake focaccias.
Massively into them.
Oh, look, there's a shih tzu walking past. But no, Simo, a news reporter covering the coronavirus lockdown in Melbourne broke this golden rule. Her name is Lana Murphy. And yeah, she was giving viewers an update on how the whole Melbourne coronavirus situation is.
Yeah, I follow her on the Tweety.
Oh, do you follow her?
Yeah, I follow her on the Tweety.
Like after this incident or before?
No, beforehand.
Okay. Well, Simo, she made a mistake of dropping this magical four-letter word that she's not meant to.
Oh, yes.
However, it's not her fault. It's not her fault. It's someone else's fault. We've got the audio of it here. By the way, this is a censored audio. I've censored it.
Nice work.
This went uncensored live to air on, I think it was Channel 9 News off the top of my head.
Bay home in the Macedon Ranges. He told officers he was on his way to Melbourne to...
Yeah, so I think the wind was getting in her hair or something. So it was one of those first world problems that deserved an expletive.
Yeah. Well, she's doing a piece to camera.
That's right.
And yeah, her hair got into her face and she kind of muddled up her words and dropped the old F my life.
Yep.
I was reading up about this. I don't think this was this reporter's fault, though.
No, because it was in the edit room that something went down. They aired something they shouldn't have.
Yeah. So it was pre-recorded. And then whoever's in charge of playing the things played the wrong one.
Yeah, she took to Twitter to say that she was like, well, sorry about that. It wasn't my fault.
I've got her quote on Twitter.
Oh, have you? My favourite part was like her reference to the fact that 2020, it's a little bit like this, hey.
So she said, unfortunately, the wrong vision, clearly, of a pre-record made it to air. But thankfully, I have a great boss and I'll be back on your screens tomorrow. 2020, though, am I right?
That's the one. So she's just blaming it on. It's like the whole year has kind of gone to pot, so we'll just throw this in and keep moving forward.
I feel like for the next, 5 months or so, we can just blame whatever we want on 2020.
Okay, right.
I got that parking fine. 2020, am I right, though?
So wait, are you gonna swear right now and then just...
Well,
because you've got to... Our boss is officially handed in his resignation, so you'll be fine.
Well, see, I mean, according to her tweet, she says, quote, I have a great boss and I'll be back on your screens tomorrow.
That's right.
Should we test out to see if we've got a great boss?
Better you than me.
3, 2, 1.
Simo and Jordan.
But it is time for a love chat. Love chat, baby. Love a good love chat. And this love chat involves a proposal, Jordan.
Sorry, I love the fact that that song is actually Love Shack, but now in my head, whenever I hear it, I think Love Chat.
That's how it works. So proposals, sometimes they can be quite, what would you say, extended, like complicated. Like people put a lot of effort into them, right?
Yeah, well, certainly you can go with the simple proposal or you can do a very much an elaborate one with lots of different things happening.
So a proposal has gone down quite spectacularly, involving the fact that the guy managed to, in his proposal, burn his house down. 365 degrees. Would you like to know how?
Well, can I just ask, did the proposal end in a yes or a no? Because if it ended up in a no, that is a really bad day. You've lost your partner and your house.
So he accidentally set fire to his flat after a romantic gesture had been planned to accompany his proposal. What he did was he set up, like, 20 to 50 tea lights.
Okay.
Inside the house. So, like, the little candles in the cans type scenario. So three fire engines were then sent round to his home to put it out. And he intended to pop the question to his partner in the room filled with hundreds, that's his quote, hundreds of tea lights.
Okay.
Balloons and bottles of wine. However, they all burnt to a crisp because he apparently left the candles burning while he went round the corner to pick her up from work.
Yeah, if you've ever got a fire in your house, it's probably best not to leave the house.
So apparently he and his girlfriend managed to escape the blaze unharmed.
That's good.
Before he instead asked her hand in marriage outside his smouldering house. the house is burnt down, but what do you reckon? You, me, we can make a run at this.
I mean, what's that? Every cloud has a silver lining. Every door opens, there's another door closes or whatever those phrases are.
Every smoky house has a silver lining.
Every smoky burnt down flat has a guy proposing to his girlfriend in front of it.
By the way, she said yes.
Okay, well, that's good.
How amazing.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, you say yes, not just to the marriage, but you've got a lot of work rebuilding the house.
There's a lot. Do you take me in sickness and in health and in burning my house down? Well, we've lived through that, so.
I reckon he would have got down on one knee and said, will you marry me? And she would have gone, yes, but please never use candles ever again.
So good. You know how there's always that one instruction given to the kids when they get left like at home by themselves?
Yeah.
Just like, don't burn the house down.
Yeah.
It's like now he as the husband is going to hear that for the rest of his life.
Yeah. Now, if you think about getting the candles out while I'm away at work, don't.
Just make sure they're scented so that the house has a nice kind of aroma when
So the fiery's coming to you. Oh, lavender.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, have you ever played bingo?
No, I've never, ever played bingo.
Have you never played bingo?
No, I don't even know. I just know that, what is it? 1, 2, buckle my shoe. 3, 4, knock on the door.
I think you're very much off.
No, that's how they read the numbers out.
Okay, now I see what you mean.
Yeah. And then, what is it? 5, 6, something or other.
No, it's like Cockney rhyming slang, but for numbers.
Yeah, that, I was close. It's ballpark.
I remember the last bingo I played was at a pub, and it was very much an X-rated bingo. So all Ooh. Of the words, I'm trying to remember one that I think I could say now, but I can't think of one.
Okay.
That I said with words. But so the reason I bring up bingo is because Prince William and Kate, they were doing the bingo. This is back in May.
They were doing the bingo.
They were kind of calling out the numbers.
Is that what your grandma and grandpa say when they're off to go play that particular game?
Go play bingo.
I'm going to go, what were they? They were doing the bingo.
Look, it gets very tense. If you've ever played bingo and you get like one number left and there's four or five other people who also have one number, perhaps a different number, it gets very tense every time the ball gets drawn out with the number.
Hectic, man. It goes along with those extreme sports like Sudoku. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with that one?
It's extreme.
Right,
it's
next
tense.
To crosswords and noughts and crosses.
It's tense, Simo.
Oh, it's hardcore stuff.
It's tense stuff. Anyway, the reason I bring up bingo is, yeah, Simo, Prince William and Kate, back in May, they were on like a video live stream kind of calling out the bingo numbers for people that couldn't go to play bingo as they normally would.
Yeah, it was... That's virtual reality bingo.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, now with some of the restrictions in the UK and pretty much around the world starting to ease off, Prince William and Kate have been able to go back out and start, you know, slowly visiting people.
Okay.
They popped into an old person's home in Cardiff where some residents weren't necessarily too happy with how the royals had called out the numbers for the bingo back in May. I think we've got the audio of it here.
Do you remember we came? You might not recognise the faces, but we did the bingo with you.
Yes.
You won.
Yes.
Yeah. But you said we didn't do a very good job. Excellent.
So that is 87-year-old resident Joan Drew Smith, more or less telling Prince William that his bingo calling abilities were bloody, and then I'm not going to use the next word.
Awful.
Yeah, we'll go with awful.
Well, he's used to, as a prince, he's used to upsetting the older generation, the women in his family. And
That's his brother, Prince Harry, who left.
Sorry, wrong one.
Yeah. But he's used to upsetting old... What are you talking about?
We all disappoint our ancestors, don't we, Jordan?
Do we?
Yeah. I don't think a grandma ever has actually been proud of any of their offspring. They're always so judgy.
What are you talking about, Simo?
Similar to the Queen. She's got her, what is he, technically? Is he the grandkid?
Yeah, so yeah, Prince William is the Queen's grandson.
Yeah, so like A, before he got married, she would have been asking him, when are you going to get married? Mm. B, it would have then been, why don't you get a job? Well, it's because I'm a royal, I'm not allowed to. This is your fault, Grandma.
Yeah, this is your doing.
And then clearly, later in life, bingo calling isn't going to be an avenue for him to make money either.
Simo and Jordan.
But it is time for a love chat. Love a good love chat. And this love chat involves a proposal, Jordan.
Sorry, I love the fact that that song is actually Love Shack. But now in my head, whenever I hear it, I think Love Chat.
That's how it works. So proposals, sometimes they can be quite, what would you say, extended, like complicated. Like people put a lot of effort into them, right?
Yeah, well, certainly you can go with the simple proposal or you can do a very much an elaborate one. With lots of different things happening.
So a proposal has gone down quite spectacularly involving the fact that the guy managed to, in his proposal, burn his house down. 365 degrees, burning down the house. Would you like to know how?
Well, can I just ask, did the proposal end in a yes or a no? Because if it ended up in a no, that is a really bad day. You've lost your partner and your house.
So he accidentally set fire to his flat after a romantic gesture had been planned to accompany his proposal. What he did was he set up, like, 20 to 50 tea lights.
Okay.
Inside the house. So, like, the little candles in the cans type scenario.
Mm-hmm.
So, three fire engines were then sent round to his home to put it out.
Mm.
And he intended to pop the question to his partner in the room filled with hundreds, that's his quote, hundreds of tea lights.
Okay.
Balloons and bottles of wine. However, they all burnt to a crisp because he apparently left the candles burning while he went round the corner to pick her up from work.
Yeah, if you've ever got a fire in your house, it's probably best not to leave the house.
So apparently he and his girlfriend managed to escape the blaze unharmed.
That's good.
Before he instead asked her hand in marriage outside his smouldering house. the house is burnt down, but what do you reckon? You, me, we can make a run at this.
I mean, what's that? Every cloud has a silver lining. Every door opens, there's another door closes or whatever those phrases are.
Every smoky house has a silver lining.
Every smoky burnt down flat has a guy proposing to his girlfriend in front of it.
By the way, she said yes.
Okay, well, that's good.
How amazing.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, you say yes, not just to the marriage, but you've got a lot of work rebuilding the house.
There's a lot. Do you take me in sickness and in health and in burning my house down? Well, we've lived through that, so.
I reckon he would have got down on one knee and said, will you marry me? And she would have gone, yes, but please never use candles ever again.
So good. You know how there's always that one instruction given to the kids when they get left, like, at home by themselves?
Yeah.
Just, like, don't burn the house down.
Yeah.
It's like, now he, as the husband, is going to hear that for the rest of his life.
Yeah. No, now, if you think about getting the candles out while I'm away at work, don't.
Just make sure they're scented so that the house has a nice kind of aroma when
so
I come
home. So the fiery's coming to you. Oh, lavender.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And now, I don't want to get too hard-hitting journalistic, you know, offering information, that kind of thing.
Okay.
However, did you hear about that report when random seeds were appearing in mailboxes over there in the US?
No.
Okay, so this is like a full-on thing, Jordan.
So what are we talking about, like, seeds that grow, like, will grow into a plant? Okay.
Hmm.
And so they're just appearing on in where letterboxes?
Letterboxes over there in the US, and they were coming from China, like, in all 50 states of America, they're getting deliveries of seeds.
Right.
And sketching out hardcore about it.
Do they know what type of seeds? Were they like sesame seeds?
Well, that's what
something?
They were wondering, because they were concerned that they might be like an invasive plant species or was like some kind of global incident that this could cause.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was like weeks ago and it all blew over and no one like really followed up.
No one really cared.
Until, right? Get around this. Okay, so the US Department of Agriculture has identified some of the plant species of these seeds that were shipped over to the US.
Sorry, who identified?
The US Department of Agriculture.
Okay, I don't want to insult them, but we had these mystery seeds, and then a couple of weeks later,
yeah,
they know what this seed grew into. Well, I wonder how they worked that out.
Oi, if I got...
Oh, it's tomatoes!
If I got some seeds, do you reckon you would be able to spot what they are on site?
Well, not on site, but if you plant them and then wait a couple of weeks...
You can't plant them. They might be dangerous.
Well, you could do it in a pot or something.
They might grow into a beanstalk.
Well, then there might be money on gold on top of the beanstalk or whatever there was.
If they plant the seeds, they might grow sprouts and all of a sudden have automatic weapons. You can't trust them, Jordan.
If a plant had... That would be a great plot for a movie. Because they start selling seeds everywhere and then one idiot plants it and the plant has a gun.
Look, since the Avengers, Marvel haven't had a lot of ideas, so...
They are running low on ideas.
Right, so what they've done is they have managed...
Wolverine with his claws would be perfect for, like, shearing it. Hang on, the hedge is getting a bit out of... Hugh Jackman's, I got this, guys, it's all right.
Chop, chop.
Is Hugh Jackman, is he Avengers? I'm not interested.
No, but he could be a hedge... What do they call him? Hedge carver, like, do artworks?
Yeah.
Like a hedge artwork... Carver? Is that what they call themselves?
Well, that's what's on Hugh Jackman's LinkedIn now.
So these unsolicited seeds turned out to be, and I quote, mustard, cabbage, also herbs like mint, sage, rosemary and lavender.
Okay.
Hibiscus and roses was also found.
Right.
Derm.
So it wasn't some evil killer plant with a machine gun.
I wonder whether or not it's just got words finally got back to China after all these years that the Americans are only using salt and mayonnaise. And so they're just trying to do them a favour. Just like, guys.
Chinese people have eaten Maccas and gone, oh, this tastes terrible.
Terrible. Get some more spices involved. I know. We'll just mail these unsolicited to all the states of America. That won't creep anyone out.
Yeah, there's nothing sus about that.
Simo and Jordan. This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember, don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah. That should do it.